The Crossing House, a novella by Vishnu J. Sisahai. I. Arrival. The first image was a blue screen with static moving through it like weather over deep water. Then the date appeared in blocky white characters at the bottom of the frame. October 17, 1987. The numbers trembled slightly, as if the tape itself were nervous about becoming a record of anything. A hand entered the frame, pale and quick, and snapped a black and white slate shut. Project Aster, Session Zero, a woman's voice said from behind the camera. Site documentation, arrival log, 1942 hours. The voice was precise, low, and almost level enough to sound calm. Only the slight acceleration at the ends of certain words betrayed its owner. The camera shifted, overcorrected, then settled on the front of the house. It stood beyond the wash of the headlights, in a darkness not fully claimed by night. The long drive had been gravel, until the gravel stopped, then earth, until the earth gave up pretending it was a road at all. Behind them, the fields had vanished. Ahead of them, the house did not so much emerge from the dark as gather it around itself in a shape the eye reluctantly accepted. Two stories. Narrow porch. Windows like closed lids. A roof with a slight bow in the middle, as though years of weather had pressed a hand into its spine. Nothing about it was dramatic. Nothing announced itself as haunted. It was simply there in the way old things sometimes were, with a patience that made newer objects seem temporary. Voices spilled briefly into the cold, then drew close to themselves, subdued by distance, the house, or the long drive. Marcus Thorne stepped out last from the passenger side, unfolding his height with an economy that made it appear he had already been standing for some time, and the car had simply been built around him. He shut the door softly, looked at the house, and did not speak. She knew his public gestures, his half-smile when a student said something intelligent, the dry angle of his head when an argument interested rather than convinced him, the careful pauses with which he gave praise, as though guarding it from inflation. She knew the faculty version of him, the conference version, the classroom version, the donor version. She had seen him lie by omission, flatter out of strategy, disappear into abstraction, when departmental ugliness threatened to become personal. She had seen him defend terrible ideas on principle, and good ideas with what looked like indifference. She knew he believed intellect should outlast vanity, though vanity often outlived intellect anyway. What she had never seen was this, his face emptied of performance. He was looking at the house not as at a field site or a logistics problem, but as one looks at something that has not forgotten them. "Professor," she said. Marcus blinked once and seemed to return from a distance too small to measure. "Sorry," he said. "Long drive."